WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Peter King. The Jewish observance of Yom Kippur has begun, and that means we'll likely hear nothing on ending the government shutdown until at least Friday. Pennsylvania Democratic Senator John Fetterman says health care subsidies are a major sticking point.
We all collectively believe that we should extend those tax credits, but, you know, I don't believe that it's ever going to be a good choice to shut the government down.
Those credits are set to expire at the end of the year, and that would mean more than double premiums for subsidized enrollees. The shutdown means you may be turned away at U.S. national parks. One example from KCBS's Matt Bigler.
On the first day of the government shutdown, Alcatraz Island was closed for construction, but National Park Rangers were unsure when the rock would reopen. George Elvin, a cruise ship volunteer, says tourists will be surprised.
Oh, they'll be very disappointed. They will not be happy campers. Alcatraz is the most asked question.
Meanwhile, Muir Woods is closed indefinitely. Bigger national parks like Yosemite are expected to stay open, but with minimal staffing for safety and security. Matt Bigler for CBS News, San Francisco.
The Trump administration claims federal law enforcement officers have been successful in trying to rein in violent crime in Memphis. CBS's Nicole Valdez.
They're already making arrests, serving warrants here. But again, the arrival of those troops is said to really be a supporting role in the next few weeks or so.
Attorney General Pam Bondi says the officers have made 50 arrests in 2 days, National Guard troops on standby, but the timing of their involvement is not yet clear. National Guard deployment in Portland, Oregon has been delayed because of a processing issue. Local officials oppose that, and Democratic Congresswoman Andrea Salinas says the only reason to bring troops in would be an insurrection.
The Portland Police Bureau, as well as the Multnomah County Sheriff's Office and the State Police have all testified that they have local law enforcement under control.
More mysterious drone sightings in Europe. Here's CBS's Cammie McCormick.
German authorities are investigating reports of unidentified drones potentially spying on critical infrastructure, a power plant, a hospital, and a shipyard. Poland, Estonia, and Denmark have all reported drone incursions. Polish forces shot down Russian drones. European leaders are meeting this week to discuss a drone defense.
In Major League Baseball's wild card playoffs, there will be at least two deciding game threes tomorrow. In the American League, the Guardians tied up their series with Detroit, and the Padres and Cubs are also tied. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Packers reevaluate. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers having their bye week. After losing to the Browns last week, how are they reacting to Sunday night's game with the Cowboys ending in a tie? Head coach Matt LaFleur.
Right now, it feels like kind of like a kick in the gut. It definitely feels more like a loss than anything else. I think what's disappointing is when you have opportunities to win games, which we had an opportunity in both games to win the game. And when you don't win the game, it's disappointing.
College football, following losses to Alabama and Maryland, the Wisconsin Badgers head to Michigan on Saturday. Luke Fickle.
We know we have to get better. There's a process to getting better. We have to see some of those steps to getting better. But there's no way of doing it if you can't stay together and you can't keep your mind in a going in a direction. I can always say positive, but going in a direction that gives us a chance to get better.
That's the Badgers head coach Luke Fickle with sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. After his recent suspension and then being put back on the air within a week, Jimmy Kimmel gave an emotional and hilarious monologue upon his return to Jimmy Kimmel Live. Not only was it highly rated on TV, Kimmel's monologue set a record on YouTube. The host's opening segment reached almost 18 million views on YouTube within 22 hours of being posted, making it the most watched monologue in the history of YouTube, according to Variety. A Wheel of Fortune contestant from Connecticut has won the biggest jackpot in the show's history at a little over $1 million. $1 million. Christina Derevyanik told Ryan Seacrest that if she won the $1 million, she would put in her 2 weeks' notice at work, at which point Seacrest reminded her boss was in the crowd. Derevyanik said she is going to pay off her student loans and buy a house with the money. She also won trips to Japan and Montana before winning $1 million. In addition to all that, she received a hug from the iconic Vanna White. You cannot put a price tag on that. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 97.5 WFHR.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, a low in the mid-50s. Mostly sunny and staying warm for tomorrow, a high pretty close to 80. And we stay warm with 80s right on through the weekend, some rain chances towards Sunday. Cooler next week. It's 69 degrees right now.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Thursday, we'll talk to Amy Pahacek, Secretary of the State Department of Workforce Development, an agency more people are needing here in the Trump economy.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. Hidden cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. A Kutagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, I just wanted to bring up to just a shout out to all the people out there that were observing Orange Shirt Day. Every Child Matters yesterday on September 30th, and to remind everyone, too, it began in Canada in 2013 as a grassroots movement to honor Indigenous children who were taken from their families and forced into residential schools. The orange shirt represents the story of Phyllis Webstad and who had her new orange shirt taken away on her first day at the residential school when she was 6 years old. And it's amazing. It's been going on for a while. And I seem to have seen a lot more observing of this across Indian country. And just a big shout out to everybody that wearing orange. And earlier today, I was talking to State Senator Mary Kunish, and we were talking about maybe we should have a month on wearing orange shirts and talk about it, because I'm kind of surprised, too, that a lot of people and our allies don't know about this. And so it's very important, I believe, to bring it up here on Native Roots Radio and all across Turtle Island. Really kind of a sad day today. I'm going to have Wendy come on later in the show and talk about Jane Goodall, and she'll talk about how we were able to see her in New York speak 2 years ago, and she passed away at 91 years old. And so it's just a sad day here at the Pilot Residency. And today's guest is going to be Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin, and we're always excited to talk about what's going on nationally and locally and what's happening in Wisconsin, because we have a big following in Wisconsin. I want to give a shout out too to all the people that come up to me and say, it's funny. I got a message back from somebody that I know that works with Ho-Chunk Nation. And he said, I forgot to tell you, my mom really loves your show. And I'm just going, oh, we got the grandmas and the moms. We're excited about that. And I, and again, it really means a lot to me when you do come up and talk to us and say that we listen to your show and we appreciate you. That means the world to us. And I know Wendy and I have run into that a lot lately, just being out and about. And so that's been really, really fun. And again, a big thank you to everybody that does come up and say hi to us. It makes a big difference. Also, too, I never really talk about this, but we have a Patreon, and please feel free if you want to buy us a cup of coffee every month. That'd be awesome. And supporting us in any way you can, we really appreciate that. And I want to give a shout out to all the people that are supporting us on Patreon, and that's Patreon, Native Roots Radio Media and Patreon. So if you feel like supporting us in that way, and always support our sponsors and people that support Native Roots Radio. Just a second here. Are you gone? I just lost Arvina. She was on, and I don't see her on now. We have a lot to talk about. A lot going on, how the government shutdowns affecting us in Indian country and things like that. So as soon as she gets back on, we're gonna add her on and talk to her. Hey, there's our friend Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Merge Wisconsin. How are you doing today? Great to see you as always. And thank you so much. I want to say this publicly. Thank you so much for being so flexible about being on the show. It's really, it means a lot to me. You know, we had a special Minneapolis mayor show yesterday, and we had to, there was a lot of candidates running for mayor in Minneapolis, and it was pretty interesting and exciting. And thank you again for being so flexible, and thank you for being on Native Roots Radio as always.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's a good time for me. I, you know, don't have a lot going on around 5 o'clock, so. You know, it helps that my availability is pretty open at that time, but I'm always happy to come and talk about, you know, what's happening or what's, you know, nationwide in Wisconsin or, you know, politically. And yeah, I'm happy to be here. And, you know, I'm always okay being bumped for a political forum or candidates trying to reach their voters.
Yeah.
That's
your jam, by the way, and I appreciate that. I want to talk about a couple things real quick, and I you know, Wounded Knee Medals decision, you know, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth has affirmed that the U.S. soldiers who received the Medal of Honor in the massacre of the 1890 Wounded Knee Massacre are going to get to keep their medals now. And so I know a few years ago, I think that under the Biden administration, that was reneged because it was a massacre. It was no battle. And now we see how things are nationally here. And it's kind of frightening for me to see that they're taking aim at this right now.
I mean, it's first of all, I don't know that people are talking about the whole issue right, you know, at the moment. So like, I don't know that it's a super, I mean, it's not in the news at the moment other than this action. I don't know who is clamoring for this action besides Pete Hegseth and Donald Trump, maybe J.D. Vance as well. I don't know. And you know, the line in the sand or the hill that he's going to die on, one of the many hills he's going to die on is protecting medals from soldiers that shot unarmed women and children who are clearly trying to flee. You know, that's the kind of military he apparently wants to build. And I think we saw a bit of that as well yesterday with his speech to all of the generals and admirals and leaders of the military that he called. And you know, we got a pretty gross version of what his vision and Trump's vision of the military is. And, you know, it's in some ways quite different from from what we are used to, but in other ways, very much the same, unfortunately.
Wow. Yeah, really good point. And I don't know how the military is going to react. I read some places where they're rolling their eyes at this person that had dodged the draft, that talked about people that were prisoner of wars as goofballs and all these things that yes, thank you. And just the way he talked trash about the service people. And I don't know how, you know, and the other part, too, is this an attack? Is this going to be an attack on civilians? You know, and that's what he was calling for.
Yeah, I mean, there is a whole lot to be worried about. You know, the fact that they are sending, you know, I believe National Guard troops to both Portland and Memphis. You know, according to Trump, Portland is a war zone. You know, my friends in Portland have no idea where that war zone is supposed to be. You know, so he's already sending military to U.S. cities and. Yeah, it's just not good.
Hey, we're here with Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Merge Wisconsin. We'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio. Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NACD. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NACD.org.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune into Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Sexual abuse has hurt our Native people. It's still hurting them. My cousin was raped when she was 13, and 2 months later she found out she was pregnant. Now she is hurt because her baby has no dad. We have to stop sexual abuse against Native women and girls. We shouldn't have to experience sexual violence. Work with us to stop this abuse. That's not too much to ask for, is it?
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Ever wonder how far you could go with a bachelor's or master's degree? Metro State University is hosting two open house events in October. Learn about their bachelor's degree programs on October 20th. Explore master's degrees and doctoral degrees on October 23rd. At the open house, you can attend a session about financial aid and receive help from financial aid staff. Discover how Metro State can help you take the next step in your career. Sign up today at metrostate.edu/openhouse. You belong at Metro.
I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and I want to be your next United States Senator, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. We are with our friend Ho-Chunk, Arvina Martin, of the Executive Director of Merge Wisconsin, and we're just talking over things that are happening locally and nationally, and just to finish our thought... about the invasion of Memphis. Memphis out of Tennessee, I have family in Tennessee, and let me tell you, Memphis is pretty liberal, and they even have vegan restaurants, so maybe that's why they're attacking them.
And we have an Emerge Tennessee as well. They do great work down there. So shout out to Frida Player, the executive director down there, also a school board member.
Well, and with what's happening nationally, it's just more important now than ever to talk about what Emerge does. But I want to finish first off with some of the headlines, and I really want to talk about Emerge and the great work that you do, but also it's national, and it's also how it really here in Wisconsin, I should say they are in Wisconsin, sorry, really affect our Native communities and our Ho-Chunk communities in a good way. And I really want to dig deep into that the next segment. But I still have a few things. We have a shutdown going on now, and I don't know, unpositive person when I say I'm glad the Democrats are doing something?
I mean, again, what they're asking for is not even anything crazy. It's asking for extending paying for affordable health care. You know, it's not new money. It's just extending what has already been allocated and used. So it's not like they're charting new ground here or anything. And it's, you know, I'm glad that there are a lot of positions in that part of that legislation that just protect people that need the, you know, access to healthcare. And losing that access is, I mean, absolutely life-changing for so many people, and so many people lose their lives, you know, trying to get treatment that maybe they can't afford. And we just, that doesn't need to happen in this country.
Yeah. And we are still in a shutdown. So I'm glad there, I don't know. I was on Associated Press website, and there's a live camera in the government part, and there's nobody in there. And I know the Republicans didn't show up to vote. So it's concerning. I think there's going to be pushback and, you know, it's affecting everything. And one of the things too, I'm going to be heading out to New York, and, you know, it's going to affect air traffic controllers. It's going to affect, you know, how it shut the key tribal support agencies like the Bureau of Indian Affairs and Indian Health Services is expected to continue operations, but it's still going to affect them if you're not getting paid, you know, for goodness sakes.
Absolutely. I mean, what do you do if you are expected to continue to work and, you know, are not going to get the compensation that you need in order to continue to exist in your life, you know? And the folks in Congress still get paid, you know, I'm sure Pete Hegseth is still going to get paid. It boggles the mind.
Yeah, it really, really does. And, how is history going to be written here, you know, in these past 10 years? And, you know, I believe, you know, there's people that, you know, have read the book People's History of the United States that really know what the true history is. But it really seems to me that the history is going to the victors right now and really changing a lot of narratives that, you know, even our allies that listen to the show don't know a lot of things. And we talked about the orange. I talked about the Orange Shirt Day yesterday and today. I have friends that are allies that don't know what that is.
I mean, yeah, I same here on Orange Shirt Day. You know, I will say that it's a newer holiday here in the United States. I do believe that they've celebrated it longer in Canada. Yeah. But yeah, a lot of people have never heard of it. And you know, you see the Trump administration trying to rewrite history in this very moment, in that they will not talk about things like slavery. They're trying to take all references to slavery out of the, you know, American History Museum and the African American History Museum and out of national parks. You know, they've got like a narc line set up. So if you see a sign in a national park that says something, quote, you know, mean to America, unquote, end quote, rather, that you should call this narc line and tell them so that, and they'll change it. You know, that's what this administration, when they're paying people, that's what they spend their money on, you know?
Well, Well, speaking of that, too, I just want to say this, and I'm sure our listeners know, and is that people in ICE are still getting paid with this shutdown. There's a special way that they're being paid. And so there you have it again. People in ICE are getting their college loan forgiven. And, you know, there's all these things that really are twisting people's minds.
I mean, we are at the part where people are saying the quiet things out loud are, you know, acting on things and not even pretending anymore to be fair or nonpartisan in your role as a, you know, as an elected official, you know, and it's just, it's crazy to me. You know, Trump today told Microsoft that they should fire somebody because she used to work for the, you know, Obama and Biden administrations. I mean, talking to a private company saying she's terrible, you should fire her.
Well, the Supreme Court finally did something, or they at least put it on hold when he was trying to fire the person from the Fed, you know, and they said they didn't have to. So that was interesting, but it's still pending. It still could switch around, but him firing somebody that really, you know, has nothing to do with government, the people saying that he can't do that, he did it anyways, and they and the people bowed out to him and did fire her. So
yeah, and we just I'm trying to look at what the actual title of these folks that he fired today was, but I believe it was people that serve on the board of the National Humanities, I don't know if it's association or organization. I apologize for not having this on hand already, but he just fired all of the appointees that were appointed by Democrats, you know? And so now the only remaining board members or appointees are ones that he has personally picked. So, this organization is one that doles out grant money, you know, all over the place. So it has very real implications to, you know, just our economy, as well as the livelihoods of a lot of Americans. And, you know, it's probably going to go to questionable folks.
Yeah, which is ICE. And one of the things, too, that just popped up here, too, is Trump's administration puts hold on $18 billion funding for New York City infrastructure projects because he's a big baby and he doesn't like New York, you know, and New York doesn't like them because they've been on to him way before he ran for president, when he was not paying bills and all these things.
Absolutely. Yeah. New Yorkers know and have known and have been knowing all about Donald Trump. And so because he can't fool them, they didn't vote for him, he's not going to give them any money. And, you know, it contradicts in the most predictable way about, you know, him not being serious about the things that he says he's serious on, like crime or things like that. You know, you can't just let crime happen somewhere, you know, when there are things that you can offer and have offered to help mitigate and help prevent situations that are dangerous, and just, you know, take them away because they didn't vote for him. Again, like, this is just all insanity, you know. Again, absolutely predictable. Like, we knew this was going to happen. New Yorkers knew it was going to happen.
Oh, yeah. Well, and again, I fumbled through this. It's Supreme Court lets Lisa Cook remain as a Federal Reserve governor for now. And so I misspoke there in the beginning. And, you know, we don't have any governors. We don't have people working in his administration that will stop this insanity. He's got all these boys that are listening to him. But hey, Arvina, can you hold on another segment?
Locally grown radio, WFHR. CBS News Brief, a glimmer of forward movement with the end of day one of the government shutdown. Here's CBS's Caitlin Huey Burns.
There is a small group of bipartisan senators who have been talking about some of the policy proposals. So that's a little bit of progress.
Federal law enforcement is in Memphis, so CBS's Nicole Valdez.
Who we have seen here are members of at least 19 different agencies. That includes the FBI, ICE, the DEA, ATF, and more.
The Trump administration says they're there to stop a growing violent crime problem. Nothing from Hamas after Trump's ceasefire proposal. CBS's Deborah Pata says aid organizations are now almost non-existent in Gaza.
There are no international humanitarian organizations left in Gaza City after Doctors Without Borders and the Red Cross suspended operations there, saying it is too dangerous.
CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 97.5 WFHR.
The Packers reevaluate. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers having their bye week. Now, after losing to the Browns last week, how are they reacting to Sunday night's game with the Cowboys ending in a tie? Head coach Matt LaFleur.
Right now, it feels like kind of like a kick in the gut. It definitely feels more like a loss than anything else. I think what's disappointing is when you have opportunities to win games, which we had an opportunity in both games to win the game. And when you don't win the game, it's disappointing.
College football, following losses to Alabama and Maryland, the Wisconsin Badgers head to Michigan on Saturday. Luke Fickell.
We know we have to get better. There's a process to getting better. We have to see some of those steps to getting better. But there's no way of doing it if you can't stay together. And you can't keep your mind going in a direction. I always say positive, but going in a direction that gives us a chance to get better.
That's the Badgers head coach Luke Fickell with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. Celebrities like Emily Blunt, Ben Stiller, Mark Ruffalo, Tom Hanks, and Scarlett Johansson have all been vocal about their opposition to AI in the entertainment business. Yesterday in the Beats, I mentioned Tilly Norwood, an AI actress who even has an Instagram account and whose creator says she will probably be signed by a talent agency soon. As you can imagine, that did not sit well with actors. One in particular, Melissa Barrera, who has been part of the Scream franchise, recently said that any agency that signs an AI performer should be boycotted. Two prominent talent agencies, the William Morris Endeavor and the Gersh Agency, have vowed they will not sign the Tilly Norwood creation or other AI actors. According to Yahoo Entertainment, a representative from the William Morris Endeavor says they only represent humans. That's a very admirable stance. I just wish when they represented me, they would have returned my calls quicker. Seriously, though, it is a small victory. I hope the momentum continues. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, a low in the mid-50s. Mostly sunny and staying warm for tomorrow, a high pretty close to 80. And we stay warm with 80s right on through the weekend, some rain chances towards Sunday. Cooler next week. Currently, it's 66.
You've probably heard about investors who got in on the ground floor of a company that grew to be a huge success. But successful investing isn't about luck or genius. Instead, it's about building durability. Here are some suggestions. First, think long term. Most investors make their money over time, not overnight. You'll want a well-diversified portfolio of quality investments and plan to own them for the long term. Next, invest in quality. For stocks, quality is often measured by the steadiness of earnings and dividend growth over time. For bonds, one measure is an investment-grade credit rating with a relatively low risk of default. And finally, build a long-term strategy to provide a roadmap for your investment choices. You may want to make changes periodically, but do it for the right reasons, like changing goals or tolerance for risk.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanopi, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'm joined by Dr. Laura Dresser, the Associate Director of the High Road Strategy Center. We talk about workers needing an actual fair and living wage. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Be my wings.
Oh, this is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka, hecha, wecha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everybody. I am here with superstar Arvina Martin, executive director of Emerge Wisconsin, and I always enjoy our conversations, and I want to just switch gears here a little bit and really talk about your work. And I've been really blessed and lucky to know you for a few years and watch what's going on and how important your work is, and really how important it is not only to the women of Wisconsin, but also how it really affects our Native Americans too here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, you know, I am the first executive director for any Emerge affiliate that is Native. And so I, you know, I come from a different skill set than a lot of folks that have the same job that I have. So I like to make sure that I am leading and working with that hat on, that Native organizing hat that I have worn for so long, and you know, really want to be able to, you know, we talk a lot in Emerge about the concept of lift while you climb. So you know, you're trying to get somewhere, you're trying to break those glass ceilings, but you're not only are you climbing, but you're bringing people with you. And I think that is one of the most important things that I can do is bring my community with me. Whether that is helping Native folks get access to political systems or elected officials, whether that is making sure that all of the folks that graduate from Emerge Wisconsin have been introduced to the concept of tribal sovereignty and what is federal Indian law, and you know how is the, you know, what are good ways to engage in Indian country that are, you know, meeting folks where they are and really coming to look at situations and problems from a, you know, a different point of view. And you know, unfortunately, Native perspectives are not heard too frequently in governmental spaces, you know, any department. So, you know, helping folks with the knowledge, you know, be able to come and be able to speak to folks about, you know, the things that they know and they are experts at, you know, is a really great thing. You know, I feel good doing it, you know, helping both sides gain access to folks that they didn't previously have access to. And that's probably one of the most important things about doing this work, you know, personally for me.
Right. And we talked earlier in the show about how even our allies and people that really want to respect Natives and Natives' ways don't know everything about what's happened to us and what, you know, because history is so, I mean, I grew up with John Wayne, you know, I mean, that's the history that was perpetrated for our young people that maybe didn't read a book or two.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I certainly don't know everything either. You know, like people may come to me for their questions on, you know, all things related to Native people, but there's nobody knows all of this stuff. And I grew up here in Madison and Dejope, but you know, so I didn't grow up in Black River, or, you know, my mom lived on the mission. Growing up, my dad grew up on the Stockbridge Reservation, and I grew up in Madison. So that's away from those communities. There's a lot of things that I don't know. But I, you know, really think it's important to make sure I know people that have that kind of knowledge that I don't have, you know, especially in fields that I'm less familiar with or completely unfamiliar with. But, you know, even knowing people who know people, I think is really important.
Well, I know
answers.
Sorry, Irvina. I know, too, that one of the things that we like to talk about, too, as especially as a Ho-Chunk or whatever tribe you're from, is that there's no pan explanation either. We're separate. We're very similar in a lot of our ways, but very separate, too, in a lot of our ways.
Yeah, absolutely. And to, you know, reduce all of Native America to, you know, North America, South America, or both, to, you know, a single thing is absolutely wild, because we don't do, I'm going to check myself right there. We absolutely do that to folks from other continents as well. I was just thinking, we don't do that to Europeans, but of course we don't, but we sure do that to Africans, you yes. know, reduce hundreds and thousands of amazing cultures and languages and life ways to one stereotype is, I mean, it's dumb, because yeah. you're missing out on so much richness of experiences and stories and ways to look at things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I agree 100% on that. It's just amazing. And it's good to talk about this, because you know, it all size doesn't fit one. And there was a great documentary that came out, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, called, what was it called? It was about the history of movies and Native Americans. And
Reels Engines,
yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And it really talked about, you know, why are these Natives wearing headbands in Arizona? And it's like, well, it's to keep the white man's wig on.
I mean, that sure sounds like the right answer to me.
Yeah. And geez, you know, and then hearing things from John Wayne, who, you know, said things like, well, we stole the land. The Indians didn't deserve it, you know, and things like that, that just, you know, ring true. And I think a lot of people believe that now, and they're coming out of the bushes with what Trump's talking about.
Yeah, I mean, we all know that Trump does not care for people that are educated and people that know things, because those people know he's wrong on most things, if not all, you know. So reducing people, entire groups of people, large groups of people, large disparate groups of people into one bucket, you know, it takes away the nuance, you know, any nuance of history and experiences. But it also, you know, otherizes that group, you know, and mm-hmm. makes it easier for him to say, oh, well, you know, immigrants, that's the reason why you don't have a job. We're going right. to get rid of immigrants. Or, you know, it makes it so much easier to see other people as being distinct from you and not sharing any of your characteristics, like in this case, being American, you know, right. Trying to divide us rather than unite us. He's said that he has no interest in uniting us, and he's had ample opportunities. I mean, right. we just had another shooting
yeah.
this weekend,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, there's no way. And just his rhetoric and, you know, there's no way. I'd like to, again, switch back to the great work Emerge does, too. I'm sorry I took you on this this other trip, but, you know, the amount
I'm
of candidates.
I'm always down for a tangent.
Yeah, me too. But the great work that you do and the amount of candidates and the training, those things are amazing, and it just can't help but help Indian country in Wisconsin, you know, with, again, I've witnessed your 101 Native talk, and it needs to be done for our allies to know and to be able to support us.
Exactly. You know, the platform of the Democratic Party aligns quite a bit with a lot of traditional values. And you know, I think it's really important for elected leaders, I mean, regardless of party, but for elected leaders to understand that tribal governments are peer institutions. They are no different than state or local or county governments or school boards. You know, folks are elected to represent their constituents, and they have the same kind of leaders and same, you know, departments, and everybody's got a health department, an education department, et cetera. And it's not, you know, tribes are not a special interest. We are folks that have a codified relationship with the federal government, you know, in federal law. We can certainly go into, you know, how well that works and how well that represents or adheres to the idea of tribal sovereignty. But, you know, it is important for people that might have to deal with tribal leaders, tribal governments, that they understand what those are and know how to appropriately work with tribes, you know, mm-hmm. and I think that understanding and the, you know, the recognition that tribes are, you know, again, people that we are, that other governments have to work with as a mm-hmm. fellow peer. I think right. that helps tribes immensely mm-hmm. and allows for situations where more collaboration can happen and programs can be executed, you know, in a way that is fiscally responsible, but helps a ton of people, helping legislation for that tribes need that would help tribes. You know, they've got people that understand why it's important and how to work together in order to make it happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, we got less than a minute left with you, Arvina. I really appreciate you coming on. Give us some information about Emerge Wisconsin and how people can get in touch with you. Again, it's that season again where if you're going to start running, it's time to really look into Emerge Wisconsin.
Absolutely. You know, we have a bunch of trainings coming up. I just sent you in the chat a bit.ly link if you can pop that up. We are going to be doing another Step Forward training with the caucuses, hosted by the caucuses of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. That is going to be for people that are thinking about running for office and are trying to decide, you know, do I run now? Do I run in 2 years? Or, you know, should I run for school board or should I run for county board? This training, the Step Forward training, is about 90 minutes and will help you make a decision that works for you. And we have our applications open now for our class of 2026 that will be starting at the end of January. And so for the application to our next 2026 class, you can go to our website, wi.emergeamerica.org. The bit.ly link that Robert has so graciously put up on the screen is for the Step Forward that I'm thinking about running training. And that, again, will be happening on October 15th. And you can always email me at arvina@emergewi.org.
Thank you so much, Arvina. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you very soon. Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin. We'll be right back with Wendy, and we'll be talking about some sad news. We'll be right back. It's Native Roots Radio.
Registering with the Selective Service System is something every 18-year-old guy is required to do. That's the Selective Service, not the Secret Service. When you register with Selective Service, you won't be guarding the president. Nobody's going to give you sunglasses and a black suit. You know what happens when you register with Selective Service? You'll stay eligible for college loans, jobs, and training programs. If you're a guy turning 18, go to sss.gov and register. No, karate classes are not included.
The Minneapolis Police Department is hiring, and we're looking for people ready to lead, serve, and reflect the communities we protect.
Whether you're a new graduate, changing careers, or already in law enforcement, there's a path for you to join our department.
With top-tier pay, full benefits, paid training, and a direct path to making a difference, this is more than a job. This is your chance to shape the future of Minneapolis police.
Choose service. Choose leadership. Choose Minneapolis. Visit our city website to learn more.
Ever wonder how far you could go with a bachelor's or master's degree? Metro State University is hosting two open house events in October. Learn about their bachelor's degree programs on October 20th. Explore master's degrees and doctoral degrees on October 23rd. At the open house, you can attend a session about financial aid and receive help from financial aid staff. Discover how Metro State can help you take the next step in your career. Sign up today at metrostate.edu/openhouse. You belong at Metro.
Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NACD. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NACD.org.
I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and I want to be your next United States Senator, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Robert Pilot. I have my wife, my partner, my soulmate on right now, and some sad news today, and I asked her to come on and talk about it. And Wendy Pilot, welcome to, again, co-founder of Native Roots Radio, and hopefully all the fans that have been badgering me about you coming on are happy.
Yeah. Yeah. There is very sad news. Mm-hmm. One of my heroes of all time, Dr. Jane Goodall, passed away today. Yeah. 91 years old. Yeah. The Jane Goodall Institute of Canada has learned this morning, Wednesday, October 1st, 2025, that Dr. Jane Goodall, DBE, UN Messenger of Peace, and founder of the Jane Goodall Institute, has passed away due to natural causes. Mm. She was in California as part of her speaking tour in the United States. Dr. Goodall's discoveries as an ethologist revolutionized science, and she was an tireless advocate for the protection and restoration of our natural world.
Hear, hear.
You know what, Robert? Excuse me, I just have to clear my throat. So, yes, I see her. She comes up on my Facebook all the time because I follow her. So, mm-hmm. I just get to see like snippets of her, speeches. And last year for her 90th birthday, Robert and I went to New York City.
Yeah.
And we saw her live.
Yeah.
It was extraordinary, really. I just sat there in awe the whole time. The theater was packed. And the one thing that I just couldn't believe is that she stood up the whole time while she spoke.
Yeah, that is a good point. It was awe-inspiring. I have an autographed book from her.
Yeah.
And just knowing, I really like that part too, is that, really bringing back to the way the earth was and talking about those situations. It was great to hear the story of her life, though, mm-hmm. too, and how she got involved. And,
yeah. I have a couple of little stories. Can I just read them?
Absolutely.
I found them, and I'm really excited about it. Most little girls grow up with dolls or teddy bears, but Jane Goodall? No. She grew up with a stuffed chimpanzee named Jubilee. It was actually a gift from her father. Instead of scaring her, that toy became her favorite companion and maybe the first clue about the extraordinary life she was about to lead. Jane was born in London in 1934, and from a very young beginning, she was crazy about animals. That story about Jubilee shows it. But there's another one, too. When she was only 4 years old, she disappeared from the house for hours, and she told us this story during her when we saw her in New York City. Her family panicked until she came into the house glowing with excitement. She'd been sitting in the hen house, patiently watching a chicken lay an egg.
Hmm.
Yeah. She just had to know where the eggs came from. That patience, just sitting still and observing, would end up shaping her entire career. And when we saw her in New York, when she told us this story, she also made it a point to say how her mother encouraged her curiosity.
Yeah.
And didn't get mad at her for leaving the house for 4 hours and didn't know where she was. And she didn't get scolded, but she was, you know, encouraged in doing that.
Yeah.
Jane didn't have any money for college, so she's trained as a secretary, but she held on to her dream. One day she'd go to Africa. She grew up reading Tarzan, and she even joked that Tarzan married the wrong Jane. She told us that too during her, when we saw her. In 1957, after saving up money from waitressing and typing jobs, she finally got herself to Kenya, and that's where fate stepped in. She met Louis Leakey, the famous anthropologist. Leakey was struck by her passion and her careful way of observing. Even though she had no scientific training, he offered her a chance most people could only dream of, to study wild chimpanzees in Tanzania.
Wow.
Yeah, it wasn't easy. Imagine being a young woman alone in the jungle. Well, not entirely alone. Authorities wouldn't allow it. So Jane's mother came along as her chaperone. At first, the chimps ran away whenever she got close, but Jane was patient. Day after day, she hiked into the forest, binoculars in hand, letting the chimpanzees slowly get used to her. Then came the breakthrough. In 1960, she watched a chimp named David Graybeard strip leaves off a twig and used it to fish termites from a mound. Up to that point, scientists believed only humans made tools. That one observation shattered the boundary between human and animal and made Jane world famous. From there, she went on to show that chimpanzees hunt, that they form friendships, and they feel emotions. She even earned a PhD from Cambridge University without ever having completed a college degree first.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But what set her apart wasn't just the discoveries. It was the way she approached them with patience, respect, and empathy. Over time, Jane became more than a scientist. She became a global voice for conservation, for education, and for hope. Through the Jane Goodall Institute and her Roots and Shoots program, she's still inspiring young people today. So I just, you know, I'm really sad that she's gone. Listen, she's lived such a wonderful, exceptional life with such a legacy that will live on, you know, forever.
She was a vegan too, and which we always like here.
Yeah.
And she wanted people to understand that every day we live on this planet, we make some impact and we can choose. She said, so we should ask questions. This thing we're buying, did it harm the environment? What is it made of? Was it cruel to animals? Is it cheap because unfair wages or slave labor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really a true person. Just an unbelievable icon, really. And I just love listening to her. If you ever get a chance, just look up one of her videos. She's very soft-spoken.
Right.
And she just always talks about hope. Yeah, she just really made a name for herself, really.
91 years old.
91. I just can't even believe it. It just...
Shoot, if I make it to 71, I'll be lucky.
Well, you know what? We don't know what life has in store for us. But I feel like after you just read that about being like just more mindful about buying stuff, you know, where did it come from? Is it an ethical product? Is it
slave labor?
I really have to do better. I think we all need to just do a little bit better.
Yeah, and talk about it and keep on talking about
absolutely.
You know, in her memory. And again, I'm so happy that I came along with you. Was that a birthday present? I can't remember, but it was great to go there and see her.
I think we saw her in January, if I remember correctly.
Oh,
yeah.
It was a later birthday present.
Yeah, it was.
Hey, this is Native Roots Radio and Wendy.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
T. Schwaba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome Chicago-based comedian Vince Moranto, who will make the popcorn pick of the week and tell us about an upcoming Wisconsin date. And my pal Madison-based film critic Rob Thomas.
Nightlight with P. Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
He scores! Wow! He ripped one over the glove of Heaney.
It's on.
And save. Badgers win the shootout.
In America's college hockey capital.
Empty net goal at the horn. Badgers finish Michigan.
Badger hockey lives here.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric Inc., Rapids Transmission, Junkyard Bar & Grill, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM and on the Civic Media app.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The government shutdown has consequences, not just for Americans who rely on services, but for those people who provide them. CBS's Kelly O'Grady.
They're not going to be getting paid. They would get back pay, but think about if this goes on for a couple of weeks, the ripple effect. They may not be able to pay rent.
Attorney General Pam Bondi says the current federal law enforcement presence in Memphis will help that city be the city locals want it to be.
They want to make Memphis prosperous. They want to bring businesses there. They want to keep it a beautiful city that it is. It's so historical. And yet, the crime is through the roof.
Scientist Jane Goodall has died after living the dream she'd had since childhood.
That's when my dream began. I'll go to Africa, live with animals, write books about them. That was it. No intention of being a scientist because girls didn't do that sort of thing.
Goodall was 91. Her foundation says she died of natural causes while on a speaking tour in California. CBS News Brief, I'm Peter King.